Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez welcoming you back to another episode of Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. It is our sincere prayer that through these programs and messages, your life is being touched by Christ so that you may experience a more personal and dynamic relationship with Him and become better equipped for service. Well, if you've been with us, you know we've been working our way through a series entitled The Pursuit of Christ. We have already talked about three of the eight principles. We are working our way through the fourth principle, which is the principle of obedience. And I said last week, as we opened our study into this principle, that we were going to make three specific points, and that the specific points were going to be broken down into sub-points. We looked at the first point in relation to the whole principle of obedience, and we said that if we are going to be successful in obeying Christ, we were going to have to make sure that we were deliberately building our life and faith on the solid rock. And we said that that rock was Christ and His Word. If we're building our life and faith on anything other than Jesus Christ and His Word, we are building a building that will not stand when the storms hit, because they're built on a unstable foundation, which is the foundation of sand. Today we're going to start looking at the second point within the principle of obedience, and that is that fellowship is the result of obedience. The first thing we must do if we're going to obey Christ is to make that deliberate decision to obey Him and to build upon that solid rock. Now, once we are into that fellowship, the result of obedience is indeed that fellowship. Obedience to Christ results in a more personal, a more dynamic fellowship with Him. Jesus, listen, this is very important, because These are lessons or messages that are designed to make us feel convicted and uncomfortable of where we may possibly be in our Christian walk. We need sometimes to look at Scripture and passages that literally light a fire under us, so that it gets us going once again and motivated in following and obeying Christ. Jesus equates obedience with love. John 14:15 states this. Listen to the words of Christ. If you love me. Have you listened to what Jesus has just stated? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus equates obedience with love. And He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If Jesus wants to know how much you love Him, listen, if Jesus wants to know how much you love Him, He will use as the acid test obedience. Because obedience to Him is the outworking of our hearts. Listen, how obedient you are to Christ tells Christ how much you actually love Him. Listen, and remember, this is not something that we, in and of ourselves, do. Our responsibility is to understand that we have been given a counselor, and that the ministry of that counselor, the Holy Spirit, is to reveal truth to us and to help us apply that truth and to enable us to do the things that Jesus is asking us to do. When we realize who Christ is and what it is that Christ has done and continues to do and will do in the future for us, that ought to fill our hearts with a desire and passion to obey Him. And Jesus said, listen, if I want to know how much it is that you love me, all I have to do is look at how obedient you are or not, or disobedient. If you are disobedient, then I've got to conclude that you don't really love me that much. That is the acid test. Obedience is the acid test. Listen, claiming to love Jesus, but living a life that is disobedient to Him, simply points out the lack of sincerity in our claim. You can't possibly convince anybody of your love for Christ if disobedience is evident in your life. Listen, who do we often think, or, you know, I know that some of you are mature Christians and some of you have made a commitment to really live your life for Christ, but I think these principles are applicable to us because I don't, you know, in spite of how mature you are in the faith, you're still a human, you still have a sinful nature that you have to deal with every single day of your life, and there are still things that cause you to stumble as you seek to live out your life with Christ. What I'm questioning here is oftentimes when we're not living obediently to God and yet pretending to love God, who do we think we are really fooling? I mean, yes, I can fool the neighbor next door, but does it really matter if he perceives me to be something I'm not? At the end of the day, he's not the one I have to answer to. It's Christ. And Christ knows my heart. And Christ knows the sincerity of my faith and my claims. We need to remember that our lives and hearts are open books to Him. And that the only person we ought to be concerned about is Him. Because it makes no difference what other humans perceive of me or what I do in order to create that perception. At the end of the day, they're all in need of salvation as well, and they do nothing to contribute to my own. It's all about remembering who it is that we are building our foundation upon and who it is that we're living for and who it is that is asking us to be obedient. Now, there is a passage, and we're going to be spending some time in John chapter 14, in which we can learn what the benefits are if we live an obedient life towards Christ. And the first two verses I want to look at in John 14 are verses 21 and 23. Listen to what he says. Whoever has my commands and obeys them. Did you hear that? Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Is there any gray area? Is there anything that we can't understand from this statement Jesus makes? Listen, if you want to prove your love for me, you must be a person who lives a life of obedience to me. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And then in verse 23 he says, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. You know what the first benefit we're told is of that fellowship that we develop as a result of obedience? The first benefit is that it brings Jesus closer to us. Jesus makes four promises in this passage we just read. Jesus makes four promises to his disciples, which is you and me, if we're in a relationship with Christ. He makes four promises to the disciples who are willing to demonstrate their love for him through obedience. Here are the four promises in that text we just read. First of all, we will experience his love. Remember what he said? I too will love him. We will experience, if our life is a life of obedience, and if we're constantly and continually making a decision and a choice to follow him, we will experience his love. This is a promise Jesus has made. The second benefit we see in this text is that we will be loved by the Father. You see, the Father responds to those who respond to his Son. Remember we read in the text? He who loves me will be loved by my Father. God demonstrates his love for those who respond to his Son. That's a benefit of this close fellowship which results from a life of obedience. The third benefit we're told of in this text is that he, Jesus, will show himself or disclose himself to those of us who are obedient. Now listen, do you believe that in this lifetime you will be able to learn everything there is to know about Jesus? No way. We can't even begin to comprehend how big, how immense God is. Even everything that God has revealed to us about himself in Scripture is just but a fraction, the tip of the iceberg of about himself. We can only take so much in because it's beyond our comprehension. But Jesus said, if you're obedient to me, not only will I love you, not only will my Father love you, but as we walk together, I will show myself, or I will disclose myself, I will reveal more of me to you. Can you imagine that? That's exciting. To know that every single day and every moment of the day I have the chance of walking with Jesus, and as I'm walking with Jesus, he's revealing more of himself to me. That's how we become closer to him. It's the same in human relationships. You don't know somebody until you have spent time with that person, and after that person has disclosed or revealed himself or herself to you. It's the same in the Christian life. We don't know much about Jesus until we start obeying him and allow him to disclose and show and reveal himself to us. You see, the goal of the Christian life is to be conformed to the image of Christ, which means that the more we grow, the more we obey, the more we exalt, the more we love, and the more we follow, the more we learn about Jesus because he reveals himself to us, and the more we learn about Jesus and the more Jesus becomes a part of who we are, the more we start walking like he did, and the more the world starts seeing Jesus in us. And the fourth benefit that he promised in the text we just read is that, listen, this is beautiful stuff. Both him and the Father will make themselves at home in the heart of the obedient disciple. Listen to what he said. My Father will love him, and listen, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Listen. God wants to make his home in your heart. But in order to really have a home, I want to be sort of precise in what I say here. The implication seems to be that if we're not obedient, somehow, let's read it again. We will come to him and make our home with me. Listen, let me put it this way. If we want to know, as a matter of fact, that God has made his home in our hearts, the triune God, all members of the Trinity, we can be sure of that as a result of our obedience and as a result of the fellowship that has developed because of our obedience. I'll leave it at that because I don't want to confuse what I'm trying to say. Listen, there's a verse in Revelation chapter 3. That helps illustrate this last promise that I just talked about. It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and it says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, listen, I will come in and eat with him. Now, if you look at the context in which that verse is found, you'll find out that Jesus is talking to the church. Jesus is saying that if we hear his voice and open the doors of our heart, he will come in and eat with us. This is an illustration of what he is promising us as obedient children in John chapter 14. Both him and the Father will make his residence or make their home in our hearts. Listen, obedience. I don't want you to miss this because at the end of the day, this is the bottom line. Obedience develops an intimacy that you have never experienced before. I mean, if you want to be close to Christ and you want to know that you're walking side by side with Him throughout your day and throughout your weeks and throughout the months of the year, obey Him. That is your choice. Now, it's not that you do it, it's that you submit to the Spirit and He enables you to obey. Remember, you have a sinful nature that is fighting against that which is divine and that which God is asking you to do. But the Spirit of God enables you to do it. Because see, you yourself or I myself could not possibly do that even as believers. We need the Holy Spirit. But obedience will lead to levels of intimacy that we have never experienced before. Oftentimes we pray for Christ to bring us closer to Himself. But oftentimes when we pray that, we fail to realize that the thing required to bring us closer to Him is that which we refuse to do, and that's obey. Obedience, listen to me, for those of us who often pray for God to bring us closer to Himself, God often turns around and says, listen, the answer to that prayer lies in your obedience to me. The more we obey, the less we have to pray for God to bring us closer to Himself, because obedience is the avenue that brings us closer to God. Now, another thing that we must never forget is, again, the promise that the Holy Spirit comes in the context of obedience. Listen to what John 14, verses 15 through 16 says. If you love me, listen, this is what Scripture says. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever. We must obey, listen, this is what He says. We must obey to receive the Spirit by trusting Christ as our Lord and Savior. Once the Spirit is in us, we must yield to Him so that He might enable us to continue obeying. See, there's a direct relationship between our yielding and submitting to the Holy Spirit and obedience. The more I yield to the Spirit, the more He enables me to do the things Christ wants me to do. If I don't yield and submit to the Spirit, I will not successfully be able to obey Christ, because it is the Spirit who enables me to do that. Don't lose sight of that important fact. In fact, that aspect of the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives is critical, because the implication is that without the Spirit, even as believers, we could not possibly obey Christ. We must make sure and understand also that the Spirit's job, listen, the Spirit's job is not to make us obey. The Spirit's job is not to make us obey. The Spirit's job is to enable us to obey. God never forces Himself upon us. But if we're obedient, He does enable us to do that which He's asked us to do. If we want to live in the environment of His love, we must obey Him and abide in Him. John 15:10 is the reference you can look at. Obeying will lead to abiding, and abiding will result in a state of fellowship with Him. Love is what draws us nigh to Him. Now, we want to take it to the next level, but we're running out of time, so we're going to move through this quickly. One question I have is, why should we obey Christ? Well, I'll give you some of the answers as to why we currently do so, and I'll give you the answer as to why we ought to really do it. Many of us obey because we have to. We have a sense of obligation, but it's not because we necessarily enjoy it or want to do it. That's not the right reason for obeying Christ. The second wrong reason is because we feel we need to. And we know that if we obey, blessings come. But our hearts and our desire is not really there. Oftentimes, we need to evaluate if those are the reasons why we obey. You know why we ought to obey? Because we understand who Christ is, and we understand what He's done for us, and we understand what grace really means. Listen, remember, the title of this series is The Pursuit of Christ. These are principles that we're looking at that will help us in our pursuit of Christ. If you really want to show yourself to be a true disciple of Jesus, obedience is necessary. Because obedience is the avenue, again, by which we bring ourselves closer to Him and Him to us. Listen, the more we obey, the more His love is made complete in us. And complete is a synonym to maturity. The more we obey, the more we experience fellowship of it as its fruit. And the more we realize that as we walk in that fellowship, the Spirit enables us to continue to do more and more and more of that which pleases and brings honor and glory to Christ. Now, we're going to be ending this message, and we're coming back next week with the last point I wanted to make about the principle of obedience. And that point I want to talk about is the result of obedience being fruit. And that's an important aspect because, remember, Jesus said, "Ye shall know them by their fruit." We can exercise our discernment and know who it is that is a true disciple. Thank you once again, and we will see you next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Miguel Gonzalez, founder and president of Reasons for Faith International Ministries, and your Bible teacher here on Truth to Live By, thanking you once again for your faithfulness and your commitment to meeting with us each week for 30 minutes to study God's Word and to continue the study of this particular series we're currently on, entitled The Pursuit of Christ. It is indeed our prayer that God is blessing you through these programs. God is using this ministry to minister to you in a very special way. That is why we come across the airwaves each week, so that God can be glorified and so that you can be ministered and blessed in a very, very special way. If you don't have pen and paper, please, I'm going to give you a few minutes here to get pen and paper so that I can provide you with our contact information. A couple of things before we close the program altogether. For those of you who have been listening to this program or who listened to this particular program and who have not yet entered into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my question is simple. What are you waiting for? This is the opportunity, the time that Jesus has provided for you to repent of your sins, to ask Him for forgiveness of those sins, and to ask Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. If that is your prayer, and if you mean it from the bottom of your heart, if it's genuine and if it is sincere, I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that God has heard that prayer. He has forgiven you of your sins. He has cleansed you. He has come into your heart. You are now born again. You are now a new creation. You are now an adopted child into the family of God. If you have prayed that prayer, we want you to contact us so that we can send you some resources to help you get started in your Christian walk. We also pray that God is using this program in the life of Christians, that we may be able to edify and equip believers for service so that they can further the cause of Christ and continue to be a faithful witness to the Lord. We want to also ask you to invite your friends and family to join us each week for 30 minutes as we faithfully look forward to studying God's Word and being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. If you want to receive copies of any of these programs, you need to do so in writing. You need to let us know the date on which you heard this program, the call letters of the station on which you heard this program. It needs to be in writing, and we're asking for a suggested donation of $5 to certainly help us with the cost of production, materials, shipping, and handling. Again, this series will be available in its entirety in the near future. More information to come. There are many other resources we offer. I am going to point you to our website because we won't have enough time to mention them all right now, but information about other resources are available online. I do want to remind you that a 160-page book, which I recently wrote entitled An Introduction to the Essential Doctrines of Christianity, is available free for anybody who is wishing to help us financially with a gift of $25. If you cannot help us in that way, please go to the website. There will be information there as to how you can get a copy of this book. A reminder, this is a listener-supported ministry. We need your prayers, and we need your financial assistance. We remain on this radio station because of your prayers and because of your financial partnership. Without either one of those two, we would not be able to do what we do in the name of Christ for all of you who benefit from listening to this program. So we need your prayers and financial contribution. Anything that you are able to assist us with, we are very grateful for, and certainly please know that you will be partnering in the work of God, and that God will indeed recompense you, and so will you hear the thanks of the many people who are ministered to by this ministry because of your contributions. Let me give you our contact information. If you're writing to us for the first time, or if you just want to write to us, or if you are asking for any resources, address your mail to either Truth to Live By or Reasons for Faith International Ministries, Post Office Box 23688, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227-0279. Our phone number is 704-778-3759. Our email address is truthtoliveby@rffiministries.org. Again, visit our website for resources and information about who we are and what we're all about. Our web address is www.rffiministries.org. Once again, thank you so much for joining us each week. May God richly bless you, and we will once again see you a week from today.